Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake. Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound we broadcast as loud as possible.
Leftover Army Monsters, Giant Podcast, All Out Attack.
Hosted by Dan Heppner.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Co-hosted by Eric Marable.
George, help! There's a monster here!
And Amanda Albers.
I've never seen Godzilla this close before.
Featuring Tierra Gibson.
Ah! After 10,000 years, I'm free! It's time to conquer Earth!
With special guest, Paul Hart.
Frankenstein's heart, Lieutenant.
Frankenstein is still living?
It can never die.
Never.
It is rare that we cover things from the 1980s. Kaiju weren't exactly in the public mind during this time, as pop culture was enraptured by other things like robots, time travel, aliens, and lots of gunfights. It was the age of the overly jacked, super macho action movie. But ironically enough, most of these kinds of movies had some sort of sci-fi element to them. Terminator, RoboCop, Alien, Predator, Back to the Future, Time Cop, Demolition Man, so on and so on. With all the sci-fi action movies being seemingly omnipresent, it seems odd that there weren't as many big-scale attempts to bring giant monsters into the mix, doesn't it? Well, there were attempts, but they were mostly in Japan, go figure. And while the Japanese attempts would eventually bring around a resurgence in kaiju abroad, it never really captured a foothold in the minds of Western audiences like it did back in the 70s. But that is not to say that there weren't attempts of some sort over here. There were several, and eventually we will be talking about most of them. Unfortunately, almost all of them weren't very good, some being downright awful. And as one might guess, almost all of them were ripping off of things in pop culture at the time. Some even had the gall to rip off four or more at the same time. And on that note, but completely unrelated, tonight we are discussing Blue Monkey from 1987, starring Steve Railsback, Gwyneth Walsh, Susan Anspach, and Don Lake, with Robin Duke, Joe Flaherty, and John Vernon. Written by George Goldsmith and Chris Kosalek, and directed by William Fruitt. I'm your Not Blue Nor a Monkey podcast host, Dan Heppner. And with me, as always, is our badass local detective, Amanda Albers.
Hello, everyone.
And our surprisingly progressive for the 1980s female doctor, rocking a Sigourney Weaver haircut, Eric Marable.
Hi, everybody.
And as usual, we have our frisky old man who is patient zero, Tierra Gibson. Oh. Actually, we don't have her tonight because, ironically enough, or maybe it's not ironic, she is rather sick right now and might even have the Rona. And joining us today for the first time, though, is a very special guest. We have with us the host of both the animated Batcast and Movies from the Heart, who is also a greedy hospital administrator, Paul Hart. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm glad I'm that character from the movie. This is even better.
Oh, it's good to have you on, finally. And what a odd one you picked.
Oh, I mean, you see that name, I just had to have it. Give me that Blue Monkey. Wow, I regret saying that immediately. I am so glad this one jumped out at me.
Yeah, it's definitely, I thought you were going to say, you see that name, and then you're like, wait, that's false advertising.
Yeah. Well, it was said once in the movie, and that's what I did. Like the aha, heard the title.
Yep. Yeah. Fun fact: at one point, the movie was going to be called Green Monkey, but they thought that was too absurd.
Well, we're talking the 80s, so We got the HIV, the AIDS, the rumor of the Green Monkey, and people. So,
yep,
that might have been a better choice.
Might have been. I mean, I don't think either one really doesn't really matter.
Nope, it doesn't.
But anywho, yeah, this is going to be an interesting one to talk about. But before we can get to the movie at hand, as we always do on this show, when we have a person on for the first time, we'd like to get a little background information on our guest's exposure and experience in the kaiju genre. So, Paul, why don't you tell us a little bit?
Yeah, my dad was always into, like, he was more into, like, the Universal monster movies, like The Creature and The Mummy and stuff. But then we kind of, like, every Friday we always went and got new movies from, like, a local rental place, like a Blockbuster and shit. And one day it just, we ended up renting, like, a King Kong movie or something from, like, from the 50s. And then we just kind of started watching just a couple more, like, monster versus monster movies. Like, I know we watched, like, Godzilla versus, I believe, King Kong back in the day. And then that just kind of stopped. But then the Power Rangers kind of got big. I don't know if you count that as being part of the genre, but I just remember being like, hey, they're fighting these really cool, ugly monsters. Like, that's fun. And then just kind of stopped until a Blue Monkey just, like, kind of gave me that taste of crack again.
Takes one little taste and then you're back in, baby.
Just one taste of that Blue Monkey. I'm going to stop talking. Right?
Oh, by the way, Power Rangers is part of the fucking genre.
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks for beating me to the punch, Eric, because I was going to say, you see our previous episode, you know, it's one of Eric's favorite things that we cover from time to time is Power Rangers. Isn't that right, Eric?
I watch it every time to Morphin time.
God, 5 o'clock is happy hour and 4:30 is Morphin time.
God.
It's a good lead in, right, Eric? It'll make you drink afterwards.
Yep. You can never get enough of that Blue Monkey.
No, never can. Never,
funky
ever.
Funky Monkey.
But yeah, so Blue Monkey, the peculiar movie that, you know, it's debatable whether or not it necessarily falls into this genre at all, but we've covered some dubious things that, you know, skirt the line a little bit or ride that line very carefully. So ultimately, I figure this is one that should be in here. And I'm really kind of glad that I did put it in because, you know, I don't know if anything else would have jumped out at Paul, but this did. So glad to have it. Glad to have it. Have this movie to cover so that we have you on to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Can I ask a question to Paul real quick?
Yeah.
Given the choice, if you had two options on that board and one was Blue Monkey, the other was Dude, Where's My Car, which one would you have chose?
Oh, man, that is... I don't know. That is a tough question. Am I under the influence of anything?
Just the Blue Monkey, apparently.
Well, then it's Blue Monkey all day, every day.
Fuck. All right, I figured I would ask.
There usually isn't dumb questions, but I mean...
No, this is just Eric's continuing nonstop crusade to somehow get Dude, Where's My Car on this podcast to talk about it. And it's not going to happen to give up.
It's okay. I'll survive.
As long as I am hosting this show, it will not happen.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm. You'll keep bringing it up. But that's fine. That's... You do you, Eric. But so let's kind of start talking about the movie at hand here. Like I said, an odd one, definitely an odd one. Let's go around the table and see who all has seen this movie before. Anybody?
Nope.
No.
Didn't think so. I have seen it once many, many years ago, as per tradition. And I'm like, it's been at least 25 years, probably. Like maybe I was, somewhere between 20 and 25 years since I've seen this movie. And so I didn't remember much of it. I just kind of remember the name and it not being about a blue monkey. That's mostly what I remembered from it, from seeing it as a kid. So I was happy to put it on here and revisit it here. So yeah, I didn't really remember shit about it at all. I've technically seen it twice, but once only where I remember any of it. But so then let's go around the table and get some expectations going in and general thoughts coming out. We're going to bury the lead here, or not bury it. Paul, let's start with you.
Yeah, I had no idea what this movie was about until I even started to watch it tonight. I didn't want to really look into it at all. I just wanted to have no no preconceived notions or anything and just jump right in.
See, this is why I appreciate you, Paul. As a fellow podcast host, you want to go in as blind as possible, so you just have a pure reaction.
Yeah, yeah. And then when I figured out there wasn't a monkey, I'm like, I see what you're doing. I like this. Let's keep going.
Little old bait and switch.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely got me there. I can't wait to keep talking about this.
But so, yeah, what were your thoughts coming, your general thoughts coming out of it after, you know, coming around the opposite end and having seen it finally?
Oh my God. It was like the wish. It was like the wish.com version of every 80s movie, like all combined into one.
Wish.com. What a pull. Like,
in the best, worst way ever. Like, it was just like, I love terrible movies. I like Signs and The Village, like all that shit. Like, I think those are amazing. So this was, dude, this was like the Citizen Kane for me. It was so terrible. It was great. There was like 40 storylines that were going on at the same time. Some just never got rehashed. Oh my God. Oh, the acting. Oh, all of it. It was just great.
Good.
It oddly makes me want to watch Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and see how close Auntie looked to these things.
I can definitely go with that for sure. For sure. I definitely see where you're coming from. Eric, how about you?
So unlike Paul, I watched the trailer because I like to watch some of these trailers, as I've probably said a lot before, but Paul's never heard me say it. So I'm like, Paul, no. Sometimes I like to watch the trailers to get an idea. And the trailer on this is a little bit deceiving, where they have a voiceover of that, and this is in the 80s when there's a horror movie and it's terribly scary and all this other shit, right? So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a cheesy ass 80s horror movie. Whatever. That's cool. It's like Alien a little bit. Kind of get that out there. I thought it was going to come out, like, be presented a little bit more like Pumpkinhead. And you can tell my disappointment that it wasn't. But it was, like Paul said, it's everything from the 80s from Wish.com. Like, I would watch this and be like, I remember when Newt was a better Newt than this kid. I remember when Aliens did a better job tracking the alien on Aliens. And I'm just like, I don't know. I had a little bit of the cop dude reminded me a little bit of Mark Hamill from The Guyver, but he didn't overact it, but he was still kind of, it's like it had like little smidgets of everything great in the 80s done worse, but it was in that range where the worst was good. So it was a shitty movie, and it was the right kind of shitty movie, so to say.
Yeah, this definitely seems like we've been on here many times where you were hoping for a movie that was kind of this movie and you weren't getting it in a lot of these cases. Your expectations were something that was a lot more in tune with this and you weren't getting it. And you were always a lot of times bummed out about that. So I was really curious. I'm like, all right, I got something for you. Then I got something that's exactly where you're looking for it to be. And I'm glad that it hit exactly where that mark is.
Right, right. So, I mean, yeah, you've thought it was going to hit a certain way several times and it didn't. And this one, it kind of, I guess it did.
Yep, absolutely. Well, since Sophie's chiming in, Amanda, how about you?
What you said last week, that the title Blue Monkey, and I knew that there was not going to be a monkey. And I said blue and you're like, So didn't really know what I was going to get. And I wasn't too thrilled when it started. But after it got rolling, I don't know what expectations that I had, but when that John Flaherty, however you pronounce his last name, that sketch comedy guy, when he showed up, I was kind of more intrigued to see what was going on. And yes, there's like 400 different storylines that it kind of made me think of Final Wars, where it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. And all I can say is if I have to be quarantined in a hospital when I'm an old lady, I want my best friend that I think is blind to sneak in a cough syrup or whiskey or whatever and get me wasted in the hospital.
Right. Two true best friends there, those two old bitches. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But no, this is a fun ride. Like it started out a little stanky and then I was able to roll with it and it was better than I expected. Or more enjoyable than I expected. I wouldn't say better.
Yeah, and I'm mirroring everybody here too. That yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, I've seen it before, but I had very little memory of it whatsoever. Luckily, I was reminded of it about 6 months ago or so from one of our favorite YouTubers, Brendan Tenold, because he's covered this movie. So after watching that, I was like, oh, right, that movie exists. That's gonna go on the podcast. And yeah, it's exactly as you were saying, Eric. It takes some of the tropes and hackneyed cash-ins and rip-offs of all the greatest hits from the 80s. It's got Aliens. It's got John Carpenter's The Thing. It's got weird hospital drama that's almost like ER or something. Like, it's got everything you want in a bad movie. And then some. Yeah, and then it's got John Flaherty as well. So, like, it hits all the right notes in terms of just dumb, cheesy, stupid, bad acting. But at the same time, it all coalesces into something that's much greater than the sum of its parts. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. I'm really looking forward to talking to this one. But in order to do so, I'm going to have to go ahead and break down the plot, don't I?
Yay.
Yep. This plot this week is brought to us by Wikipedia because I have not had time to do it with everything that's been going on in my life. So, Marwelia Harbison is an eccentric old woman who owns a greenhouse. Handyman Fred Adams stops by to do some work on the light fixtures and comments on how one of her plants is drooping. It's an old, odd-looking plant with yellow flowers. According to Marwella, it came from a newly formed volcanic island off the coast of Micronesia. Its current state happened overnight, and Marwella is at a loss to explain what could have caused it. Fred inexplicably hurts himself on the plant, as though he pricked his finger on a thorn. However, Marwella claims the plant has no thorns, and neither she nor Fred can figure out what could have pricked him. Nevertheless, he seems okay, and after bidding Marwella goodbye, and also him flirting with her, and they're going to go out for dinner, or a night of dancing, I can't remember what, he walks out to his truck, whereupon he immediately starts feeling strange and collapses. Marwella calls the paramedics. Fred is taken by ambulance to the Hill Valley Hospital with a very high fever. On call are doctors Rachel Carson and Judith Glass, who are astonished to see that the man has already developed gangrene where he pricked his finger. Their attention is taken away from Fred when police detective Jim Bishop brings his partner in with a bad gunshot wound. It says bad, but there's very little bleeding, actually. The two had been involved in a stakeout that went poorly, and Jim's partner got shot at point blank. However, Rachel's confident that with surgery, he should be okay. In the adjacent bed, Fred begins convulsing and winds up vomiting up an insect pupa out of his mouth, after which he seems to stabilize. The pupa is hurriedly contained in a bell jar in the hospital's in-house laboratory. Rachel is concerned that whatever Fred might had might be contagious and orders mandatory checkups on everyone, including Jim. When Jim comes back clean of any mysterious parasitic insects, Rachel decides to show him around the hospital, including their high-tech research facility where they're testing out a new and powerful surgical laser system. Weird. Attempts to x-ray the pupa prove futile, and so it is decided to slice it open. In doing so, the doctors unleash a particular feisty insect-like creature, but with Jim's help, they're able to get it contained. Meanwhile, Fred is faring far worse. In addition to having been parasitized from the insect, he's come down with a mysterious disease the creature was carrying. He goes into cardiac arrest, and when Judith Glass attempts to revive him with shock paddles, his chest violently explodes, killing him. Meanwhile, Marwella and the paramedic who brought Fred in are coming down with the same symptoms. Hospital director Roger Levering is resistant to quarantining the facility for fear of causing a panic, also because they're opening their new laser facility in the week. But Rachel is at least able to get him to bring in entomologist Elliot Jacobs in the hope of identifying the mysterious insect. But before Elliot arrives, a group of children from the hospital's pediatric ward, one of them the leader having leukemia, yes, it's a group of Kenny's people. They start roaming the halls like fucking savages. Lab technician Alice Bradley, tasked with guarding the insect specimen, is lured away from her post by her boyfriend, laser lab technician Ted Andrews, to have sex, which leaves the insect completely unguarded. The children wander around the lab and into it unnoticed, and then upon seeing the insect, they decide to feed it some bluish powdery substance one of them finds in a bottle on a shelf. They all argue over who gets to pour it in the jar and with the insect in it, and as a result, they pour in an excessively large amount of powder. Hearing the nurse and orderly returning, the children quickly leave. Unbeknownst to the two, the insect has grown to gigantic proportion and has broken free from its glass prison, and it promptly kills both the nurse and her boyfriend. Elliot Jacob arrives, and he, Rachel, and Jim survey the carnage. Elliot is horrified when he discovers that the bluish powder the children fed the insect is a growth hormone. Now the giant insect, and it could be anywhere. And it turns out the insect is in the utility tunnels underneath the hospital, where it kills a hapless janitor and then begins building a nest for its brood. Rachel, Jim, and Elliot eventually figure out how to stop the insect, while Judith deals with the consequences of the disease the creature has spread throughout the building. Before military is summoned by New York's Lincoln Institute, drastic measures take place to destroy the facility. But eventually, of course, everything in the end works out. The Kenny helps them find the tunnels where the insect is brooding. Older woman and her blind friend, they get drunk and somehow alcohol is the key to stopping the disease. And the insect is eventually killed and the quarantine eventually lifted once everybody's cured by getting shit-faced drunk. And so with that, Jim and Rachel walk out to see a brand new day and suggest that they should have brunch together as credits roll.
Well done.
That last bit I actually had to ad-lib because the plot summary on Wikipedia ended with taking drastic measures to destroy the facility.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a not complete plot summary. Thanks.
It's all right. It worked. It was, that was a lot more. It's weird to be able to streamline some of these old movies.
Yeah.
Or movies of a certain era.
Mm-hmm. The hokey ones, let's say.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yep. That's a good way to go with it, I think. So, yeah, where to even begin?
Where does Paul want to begin?
Yeah, Paul, where do you want to begin? You're the guest on today. Why don't
Oh, my God. I mean, just I don't know how it took you until to get to John Rafferty, whatever his name is. But, I mean, I was all in, like, in the first 10 seconds because it just picks up. It's fucking awesome. Just, like, these two old people just... They seem like they got no chemistry yet. Like they have all the chemistry and he's just like, oh, look at this flower. And she just like, I think she even gives the coordinates of like where this island is located. She's like, oh yeah, it just comes from like a volcanic island and blah, blah, blah. And
in Micronesian, its latitude, longitude coordinates are
pretty much. That's like pretty much exactly how she said it. And yeah. And then it just, God, does it pick up? Fuck. This movie's amazing. And just re-listening to you read all of that, I'm like, This got robbed in the Academy Awards easily. But no, it was, yeah, like, I mean, that beginning, it just, I think they're finally getting to the hospital and like, they haven't even gotten through all the credits of the beginning. Like this definitely knows what it wants to do.
It definitely, like, aside from the first, like the first 2 minutes are really quick. And then like the next 10 to 15 minutes are kind of slow. But after that, it does kind of just go pretty quickly, it feels like.
Yeah, but those 10 minutes are awesome because that one doctor is just giving this cop that she just met like full access to the hospital. It was just.
Right. Our state-of-the-art new experimental laser surgery wing. Like, what?
Yeah, that thing looks like it could like. Fucking take over an entire city, and everybody else in the room was wearing hazmat suits and they just willy-nilly get almost right behind them wearing right. Nothing
and they're watching them like experiment on whatever object it is and lasers blow it up.
Yeah, and she's like, oopsie daisy.
There's still some kinks to work out. Yeah. You know, we gotta figure out within a week how to make the lasers that are meant for surgery not be explosively fatal.
This slinky's gonna slink. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. God, it's funny.
It's quite the let's do some exposition and set up this thing now inexplicably and completely ham-fistedly to be like, I wonder how they're gonna deal with the creature by the end of this movie. I wonder. No idea.
I still don't know, but it's okay.
Oh, man. And I love, like, I think the wardrobe department went to, like, a Halloween Express and just got all the doctors the same sexy uniform, like, that right. They wear for Halloween. Yep.
I want to bring that up, though. Not necessarily the wardrobe, but the fact that, like, it's oddly progressive for a movie in the 80s to have, like, all the people working at the hospital, pretty much everybody who's in charge of, like, the hospital, except for John Vernon, being women. Like, that's pretty not usual. Usually, they, especially for the 80s, they'd just be all still, like, candy stripers and shit, right?
Yeah, go Canada. Yeah.
They're very polite and also more progressive.
Yeah. They did a good job casting them too, because that one with the glasses was pretty hot.
Thank you for saying that, Eric.
And you're welcome.
Doing it pretty early on. I'm curious how long it would take.
Not it better. Wasn't going to. It was pretty quick up there.
Yeah, it is. It's surprising, but yeah, it's. I also agree with you, Eric. Yes, I think both the main female doctors here were good looking. Although
that
I will
is totally Ripley.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right?
Yeah, Rachel, the main girl. Yeah.
That. Yeah, we won.
Although I don't know if it's less Ripley haircut from Sigourney Weaver and more Ghostbusters haircut. Like it's Ooh. A bit, yeah. it's a bit more, so it's a little poofier.
It's the best of both worlds. I mean,
right.
I think it was definitely intentional, though. Like,
absolutely,
what's in the casting? We're like, she looks like Sigourney Weaver.
She's got that Sydney jaw.
Yeah, we can't afford Sigourney, but who can we get who's cheap, who kind of looks like Sigourney that we can give the same haircut to?
Right. You know what's funny is, like, my wife watched the trailer with me, too, as we're getting ready for this. And I was like, she looks familiar. She looks like the first Sarah Connor, the one that got shot in the doorway. Or she looks like this person or that person. And we're like, no, we can't find it. Like, no connection. I don't know. She's just an extra or whatever. And then the movie starts. I'm like, fuck, here's everybody else is in this movie, though. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, definitely. Has anybody watched the 100?
Yes.
The current show? Yeah. She was apparently in 2 episodes.
Oh.
Yeah. As Josephine Lightborn the 7th?
No clue.
I don't know. I'm just looking at her.
Well, she would have been an adult, so she wouldn't have been on Earth. She would have been still in the ship.
She could have been on Earth as an old person. They had people on Earth.
Oh, that's true. They did.
But she's in one of my favorite guilty pleasure movies. She actually plays Alicia Silverstone's mom in the movie The Crush.
Oh, wow.
No, that's her.
That's her.
The Crush.
Yeah, jeez. You're right.
Yeah, buddy.
That movie.
Fucking Carrie Elwes, or however you say his last name.
That was such a freaky movie.
Yep. Oh, so man. Yeah, this was her first movie role, by the way, was this movie. She'd been in a few like TV roles, but just like single episode things here and there, a couple like 4 or 5 things. So,
she's in a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, she's in Generations as Betor. I don't know who the fuck that is in that movie. I've seen that movie a bunch of times and I have no idea who that is.
Oh shit. You guys aren't going to like Trek out, are you?
No.
She's very far down the list on IMDb, so she's probably just walking around the background.
Probably, or has like a single line or some shit.
They cut her out of the movie.
She had to be somebody because she also reprised the same role in an episode of DS9 called Past Prologue. Okay. And an episode of Next Gen. It was a two-parter as the same character. What the fuck is this shit? Who the fuck is Betor?
Like, we need the blue monkey lady. Get her in.
Apparently. I guess so.
Find her agent. Now we were like, oh my god, have you guys seen this? We need her.
I almost had a shit fit because she's also in Star Trek Voyager, but a different character.
Oh, well, no.
I thought you'd be like, you cannot be serious. But no, different character. So we're good, people. We're good. But yeah, it's like I said, like acting wise, of course, she doesn't do the best job in the world. But for a movie like this, it's passable, I'd say, right?
It's very serviceable.
Yeah, I think that's kind of everybody in this movie is just like, even people like John Vernon, who always plays this kind of asshole character. It's like, yeah, they do the job. They get us across the finish line without us like checking out of the movie.
Yeah, I love seeing him on screen, and as many things as he's been in, every time I see him, especially here, all I could think of is the fucking killer clown with his hand up his back, and he's fucking doing the mind thing with him. I think of that every time, the same scene when I see him. I was like, holy shit, that guy's in everything.
He really is. Such good shit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we will not be covering that.
That is a Kaiju movie.
It's not.
No.
Thank you. They're giant monsters.
They're monsters.
They're aliens.
So is Space Godzilla.
Yes.
I'm not going to argue this. I'm saving my argument. It's not this one.
Pick your fights. This is not your moment.
No, this is not.
This movie is just full of cheese in all the best places. I mean, Eric, again, you've come on here many times hoping for a movie like this and we didn't get it. So this is your moment to just go crazy on how much cheese is on this fucking nacho offering we have tonight.
Right. Like, it starts off right at the beginning. Like, the acting is god awful.
Yes.
The old man is like, oh, you know, he's talking with the old woman, this, that, and the other. And she's like, I'll only give you these fucking seeds if you go out on a date with me. And she's like, okay. And it's like, yeah, it's the best day ever. Like, he gave no shits that she said, yeah, she'd go on a date. Not that I would either, because it's like, fuck, dude. Come on, man. It's not like she's any of the hot chicks from, like, the Dirty Old Men movies, but... Grumpy old man, sorry.
Yeah.
Dirty old man. But I was like, fuck, dude, this is it's got the perfect combination of cheese. Even when you don't want the cheese. Like, there's the couple that go in there, John or Joe Flaherty, and I don't think that guy, even if he in his best, could play a straight role. As soon as you see his goofy ass face, you're like, oh, he's gonna be goofy. And he was. And he was just that over-the-top quirky guy. And I was like, that's cool, even though there's no reason for them to even be there.
Yeah, it's a side plot that goes absolutely nowhere.
Right. But it offers great comedy. But it's intentional comedy.
No, I agree. Yeah. Like, it's fun to have in there, but you can lift it completely out of the movie and there's no difference whatsoever.
Yep.
The payoff was nice, though, when the cop was, like, running, you know, he's trying to get that thing away from him, and he goes into their room, and he's like, oh, shit. I was like, there we go.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like, none of the acting was good. The special effects were, for the monster and some of the effects, they were not bad. But then they it's like the Italian dude with the little salt thing, he's... you know, flicking out with his hand. They gave you things like the old man exploding and popping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the defibrillator pads they're put on him.
Yeah, you got the fucking nurse that walks in of the two people who are bone and then they're just gone and dead. And she's just, her scream was just fucking top notch.
Her face is hilarious. Like, you, with that scream and that face, you're like, oh, wow, we're going to see, like, a bloodbath. Like, oh, there's not even bodies.
There's nothing in there.
Yeah. Like, you expect there to be just, like, gore and viscera all over the place and, like, every nook and cranny of that room. You expect them to, like, turn the camera around and the room's just bathed red. And, like, it's just, like, things are knocked over. There's a little bit of green goop, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the worst acting in this movie goes to the kids, because not once did I believe that they had leukemia.
I mean, I think just the one lead, Kenny, had leukemia, but I don't know. I kind of liked the little girl who had the neck brace, because she just kind of went with it the whole time.
She's just wandering around the whole time. Like, she's like, why am I here? I don't know why. Like, I'm out of here, guys.
Yeah, I just, it's really funny to me.
And the little blonde girl was Sarah Pauly. My jaw dropped when I saw it was her.
That's right.
Who's Sarah Pauly?
She was in a show probably, yeah, in the late 80s, early 90s called Avonlea, where it was kind of like a Anne of Green Gables spinoff. And then she was in a movie, Go, that was about raving.
Wait, with Neve Campbell?
Huh?
Is Go that Neve Campbell movie?
I don't remember Neve Campbell in it.
Or the guy from Party of Five. I'm sorry, this is not a Go podcast. I am so sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about
it. She directs a lot of stuff now, so she doesn't do as much acting, but she's done a handful of independent stuff. She's actually pretty talented, but I didn't know she was even in this as a little kid, so I was like, I know somebody, or two people in this movie. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, I always remember her as the lead character from the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Nope. All right.
I figured that might help him figure out some connection there.
Yeah, I had no clue. I'm sorry. That's the only thing I think I'd ever seen her in. I love that movie. I love it, but it was never a movie I pursued.
No, it's
like,
fine.
Oh, who's this chick? I'm going to pursue her because, like, who was the... They have hyped up another actor, so, yeah, she didn't stick in my mind.
Yeah, and, like, for me, like, similar thing, how Joe Flaherty, for me, I always remember him as the guy from Happy Gilmore, just always calling him a jackass. It's just what I always think of as, you suck, you jackass.
Yeah, right.
I always remember him from immediately as that. It's an interesting cast for sure. But yeah, like, and also since we're talking about them, we can all agree these kids are some fucking Kennys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know we had to even ask.
Well, yeah, of course not. But because, while Tierra unfortunately is not joining us on this tonight, she did send me her notes on the movie from yesterday. So, like, for example, she found it very endearing, the two old people flirting at the very beginning, the old lady and the old dude. She finds that cute. Also, for a while, she was giving a lot of leeway to the lead Kenny because he has leukemia. She's like, oh, that's sad. That gives a lot of sympathy. And I just went, we'll see for how long. In fact, why don't I ask her?
Still sympathy for the kid for leukemia, even though it's a Kenny.
She still blames incompetent adults for what happened and them causing the whole situation.
Oh, so much.
Which, yes. Extreme incompetence on what's her face for going out and for a smoke and, a smoke in a pole. Instead of watching the damn creature, the insect. But, like, still, Kenny's got a Kenny. Unfortunately.
Kenny's got a Kenny.
And put that blue liquid in a locking shelf or something too, goddamn.
Right? Just random hormones. Just
hormones.
Out of all the bottles to just be left out, that's the one. Which is why the fucking screenplay is just outstanding.
Yeah. They don't even have one of those like bartender mixer things where it only lets like an ounce out at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they got the economy size of that fucking thing.
You can buy a 10-pack of it at Costco for only $20.
God, I love this movie so much. It's so horrible.
I just love the delivery of the introduction to the Kenny and having leukemia. He's like, oh, my friend got shot. That's why I'm here. Why are you here? Oh, I got leukemia.
Right.
I just like spit, I was like, but okay. All right. Yeah. There we go.
And just the cop talking to that kid, too. Like, he wants to see his gun, and he's like, no. And then he's like, why are you here? Because my partner got shot. Like, I don't know if you'd say that to a little kid in the hospital.
And apparently shootings don't happen that often, but I love that line at the beginning where the doctor's telling him, well, we don't usually get, people shot, so this will be a day that people will remember forever. And I was like, ha, 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 ha. It is not going to be for the shooting.
Sure isn't. But yeah, let's talk about this hospital for having such an advanced and experimental laser system. Their emergency ward is crap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, the old man's just out there in the middle of the floor.
Right.
And the lady's like, is he going to be okay? You can't be here. And I'm like, where else is she going to go? Like, there's no other rooms. But there's a shitload of tunnels, but there's no other rooms. It's just one big hospital room.
Yeah, thank God they have all those tunnels from the previous insane asylum that this used to be. Like, God damn.
Man, that could have, like, been so awesome, too. Like, not only do they have to deal with this crazy fucking aunt, but they have to deal with, like, fucking ghosts of insane asylum patients. Oh, my God. Fucking sequel.
Right? Let's get a haunted hospital in here, too, while we're
at it. Oh, my God. That'd be awesome.
Right? That'd
be great.
It'd be pretty good. It'd be pretty good. I'll say that much. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you know the history about that location, that filming location?
No. Why'd you tell us?
Yeah, it really was an abandoned insane asylum.
Oh, my God.
All of it is one legit location altogether. So the tunnels are there, and they're really underneath. The tunnels connect all of the little buildings and cottages together underground, and it is now the campus of Humber College in Toronto.
Ooh, fun.
Hmm.
So it really was an insane asylum. So
that is insane.
Insane in the membrane.
Oh, my God.
Insane in the brain.
Oh, man, I almost feel like he wanted to shoot at this hospital no matter what it was. And when he was able to secure rights to film there, he's like, now I got to think of like a fucking movie to make here. And it was just all on the fly. Like he probably like saw an ant in the hallway. Like, oh my God, what if this thing was huge? And what if this was a really bad hospital? And some people had this weird sickness that has nothing to do with like, dude, man, to be a fly on that wall that day. Holy
Well, he got a huge discount to film at that location, though, but he had to use like Canadian actors and Canadian workers, and they had to film under like a certain time frame, I think.
That sounds about right.
Oh,
you got 10 minutes to film.
We ain't got time for multiple takes around here, motherfucker. It is get in, get out.
And you got to do multiple poses with this little laser gun. Do it. That was the best part too, man.
Like laser gun. That, yeah. God, that cracked me up. I was like, it cut to that scene. I was like, wait, what? How? All right. This makes no sense, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you're at the point where it's just like, hell yeah. Let's keep going. Keep bringing it.
It hits a certain point where it's just like, everything's on the table. Let's go. All right. Let's just do it. Fuck it. No one's looking. Fuck it. Do it. Go.
And I have to say with this movie, one of the most disgusting effects I have ever seen was that larval white turd squirmy worm thing coming out of that old man's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
That was
awesome.
So gross. Oh,
it was fantastic.
Oh, it almost made me gag. I was like, ugh.
And I loved how all the doctors there were just watching this thing happen like it's a fucking slow Tuesday at their hospital.
None of them are wearing like gloves or nothing.
They're not even like shocked. They don't even have like a change of look in their face. Like, oh yeah, okay, that just happened. Let's put it on a tray and give to this fucking guy.
Yeah, it's a real, again, like, no one's looking. Fuck it, nobody cares here.
Yeah, it was fucking great too.
Oh my God.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
God, man. This is fantastic.
It really is. I mean, let's talk a little bit about some of the creature effects. Because as silly and insane as this movie is, and cheesy as it is, I'd actually say, in terms of, especially for like the creature effects, solid puppet work.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I like the design of it. I like the design of the creature, even though you never really like get a great look at him, per se. But you do kind of see enough over time to, like, get a understanding of how it looks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the effects that look great, too. That looked great. The slime shit, super 80s looked great. Blood looked great.
Yeah.
All the spitting of, like, the eggs. That was nasty, but awesome.
Yeah. But the egg sacks looked great, too.
Yeah, but I will agree, Amanda. The fucking... It coming out of the fucking larva coming out of dude's mouth is so gross. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, it was legit gross.
Yeah, it's.
Well, and then the two people that got taken, like their faces underneath that, the skin or the whatever.
Yeah.
The membrane. That reminded me of something, but I couldn't think of it right away. Or I still haven't thought of it. But it just reminded me of something I've seen in another 80s movie at some point, probably more than one.
Yeah, again, like a bit Aliens, when like the sergeant and all the team are stuck on the stuck up on the wall and everything. Once they got taken earlier on and everything. Yeah, it's all, again, almost everything in this movie is rip off of something else.
It's even the rip off of Die Hard by bringing in like the fucking army outside and all that, like that one guy, just the one guy that had to go back to the greenhouse and come back to the hospital. And the guy in charge of the army is like, dude, I gotta blow this place up in 2 hours.
Dude, that dude should be, instead of being like, I have to get in there, he needs to be counting his fucking lucky stars. Cause he's a black dude in one of these movies and he's not stuck inside there.
Oh my God, he's the limo driver from Die Hard. Like, it's fucking awesome.
Oh man.
And the fact that like the leader of the army is just telling a civilian, like, dude, I gotta kill all these people in 2 hours. Like, holy shit. This guy is really likable.
It's pretty crazy.
So was the bacterial infection in relation to this larval thing, this ant, this bug?
Or yes. That's the same question things? I had.
Yes, it's supposed to be that the pinprick, or the prick from nowhere, that the old guy got at the beginning, that is coupled with it. So yeah, it's supposed to be the creature was also carrying this disease.
Okay. And then started spreading around.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, initially I just was like, is all of this shit just happening at the hospital at the same time? We got a shooting, we got kids roaming around, we got this weird ant thing from some island somewhere, and a bacterial infection. And man, their government responded so fast.
Right.
Like lockdown right away. There wasn't like, well, we think there might be an infection, but we're not sure. Let's just wait it out. Have a couple press conferences. They were like, and serious too. Like, dude, try to jump out the window. And they're like, dude, can't leave. Can't leave. If you leave, we'll kill you. They shot him a lot.
Like, yep, that was the best
part of the movie.
It was so funny.
He wasn't even saying anything when he was running. He was just like jogging.
Like, what if he was deaf and he didn't know what they were saying? And he's been confused the whole time in the hospital. He had no idea. So he just thought everybody was going crazy. And he's like, I need to get out of here. Like,
shit. You still don't even know.
He still don't know.
Nope. Never found out. He just got X badly.
Think of it. Ooh. Like, he could have been like an Italian tourist or something. He went in there because he sprained his ankle or something. And he's like, I feel better now, but these people are fucking nuts.
It's one bad day at the office.
Or he saw a ghost.
An insane asylum ghost. Yeah.
A ghost in the straitjacket.
Maybe.
And it freaked him out, and he had to get out.
God damn it. Why didn't they have ghosts in straitjackets in this one?
Fuck. I mean, it'd been just another subplot to the already, others they had.
Or that's what Joe Rafferty's wife gives birth to. Fucking straitjacket baby ghost. But I had the same question that Amanda had. I did not think they were related, because then wouldn't our main characters, who actually physically were the ones that held this first infected guy down, wouldn't they also have this disease?
They're asymptomatic.
I guess so.
Or they
showed up drunk.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I was going to say. According to the movie, as what it's presenting to us in terms of information, yes, they all showed up fucking hammered, apparently. I guess. I mean,
I don't get it. I mean, I guess they're doctors, and that's like kind of a stereotype or something, right?
Yeah.
You know, there is one thing I really am pissed that we missed out on, is I just would have loved to seen a little montage of nurses just stringing up IVs full of Jack Daniels just given to all the different patients.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a missed opportunity.
God damn it, man.
God. Right. Or all the nurses, like, getting, you know, a little more friskily dressed, and everyone's taking shots at the end and dancing. Like, this is a reason we have to party. We have to. We're saving lives.
Yeah. Any and all reasons, right? Any and excuse.
Right?
Taking shots with the leukemia kids.
Right.
That'd have been great.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Little Kenny True falls down.
Oh, man.
Yes.
For taking his little chemo IV out and having to do beer bongs with it. we need this tube.
In the background, the girl with the neck brace is doing a cake stand.
Oh, God.
Oh, I know how to write the sequel.
Oh, my God.
Get on that shit. Yesterday, my dude.
Find the same bar napkin this screenplay writer found.
Oh, mercy. Yeah, like, it's, again, just this movie kind of has exactly everything you want it to have, you know? It's just so stupid, but in the best way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, dude, what, like, that cop, dude, first off, I love how that creature, like, just would decapitate people, like, right off the bat, but this thing, he really hated that cop. He took his time and got some body shots in, throwing him around the room. He was really fucking with him.
Oh, man. There's that one room shot where I just wanted to put it in slow motion because I don't know if they had just like a pull string on him, but it just, he just flew so awkwardly across the room and into the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Like 20 feet. Like,
yeah.
He got like dragged 20 feet. It was hilarious.
It's good to know that even giant growth hormone bug creatures also have the hubris of, nah, I'm going to take my time and not kill you immediately, like I should be doing.
Yeah, he was lighting him up.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily.
Yeah, and then he'd be like over there gnawing on somebody else, where he's like, see this? See you later. See this? Nah, that's you later.
And, it's a real that moment in the first John Wick when he's at the Red Circle place and Theon Greyjoy's in the bath drinking everything, and he gets in there, he puts the one dude down, puts the gun at Theon, then without like breaking eye contact, puts it down to the dude he's holding down his head and just shoots him, be like, yeah, this is gonna be you, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real so that good. Moment of like, no, you will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And I so love the good. Fact that he knew that that thing was going to chase him. So instead of going the opposite way of everybody else in the hospital, he's literally running through them.
Yeah.
Where this, like, if this thing's chasing you, it's going to kill everybody else you're passing, dude.
Yeah,
like,
he really didn't care about the other people in the hospital potentially getting murderized by this whole situation. He really didn't give a shit about that at all.
Yeah, just the pregnant lady.
Pretty much.
Now, all right, I do have a question. Did I miss something? Because when the little Kenny boy leads him down through, like, the labyrinth of shit to find this ant, we see a shot of that little, the kid with the greatest set of, you know, the greatest head of hair that's going through leukemia. He like, comes back. He talks to, like, all, like, he talks to, like, his little gang, and he's like, all right, we all know where to go. Break. Like, do they ever show what they do? Or were they just know how to get back to their rooms? Because I don't remember seeing them until the very end. Like, did they do something really cool?
No, they did anything cool. Because if I recall, like, as soon as they go break or whatever, they just start banging. All of them kind of just start going around banging on individual doors, being like, lock yourself in and stay safe or whatever the fuck, right? Like, they don't even really do anything other than that. And then, the rest of them. Yeah.
Which at this point, if you've been in that hospital with these kids this whole time and they're like knocking on the door saying that, you wouldn't be taking them serious because you're like, oh, it's just those kids that do all the stupid shit all the time.
Right.
Like, they're trying to prank us. And then I wouldn't go lock myself in my room because I would just think that they're just being annoying.
Yeah,
you got fucking old lady Dolores just fucking trying to sleep, just, you know, fucking all pissed off because little fucking Kenny.
Old yeah, lady old. Dolores.
she's probably yelling at Kenny like, haha, I only got to deal with this shit for 3 months. Like, fucking Dolores. She don't fuck around.
Jesus. Everybody in the hospital is just like, let these kids have their fucking fun. I'm going to ignore them because the kid's going to be dead in 6 months.
Right. Well, and then that bit with the writing where the doctor's like, yeah, his folks just dropped him off here. So now we're his family. And I'm like, I don't, like, huh?
Yeah, that's the real, what are you talking about right now?
Unneeded exposition, but then again, this entire like, I learned so much about bugs in this movie where I was like, am I watching, like, oh, that old school, one of those CSI shows? Not CSI, but the Las Vegas one where the guy was, like, the bug guy, you know, all the bug facts.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, are they mostly made of liquid and muscle? Do they not have a lot of organs? I don't really know.
So I'm going to go ahead and pull experience on here. This motherfucker, Elliot, he's got a lot of bullshit in his entomology.
I was wondering when Dan's expertise is going to pop in.
Yeah, no, he's got some stuff is right. but a lot of it wasn't. Like, a lot of it is, I mean, the thing is, like, a lot of it isn't even necessarily, like, wrong per se. It's just like there's a lot of leaps of logic you're making here, dude, without any real kind of evidence, let's say.
Yeah.
What so fucking ever about what you're talking about, right? It's just incredible leaps of logic and just going, well, because I saw this one thing, therefore the rest of this must be true. Like, no, that's no. Like, yes. Yes, bugs, they have a lot of, like, just liquid and muscle in them. It's, you know, their internal organs are very kind of compartmentalized. But no, if you blow off its head or cut off its head, you know what doesn't happen? Growing a new one. It's still dead. Like, there's a, all right, there's, like, a couple, you know, instances here and there that where that can happen. But there's also a species of lizards that can do the same fucking thing. If you cut its head off, it can actually reform a whole new head and brain. But, like, that's a rare case. That's not a common thing. Because it's like, cause the way he's talking is just like, yeah, no, bugs have this crazy regenerative ability. Like, you can cut off a leg or even a head, it'll just grow a new one. No, it won't. It's not going to regrow a leg either. You cut off a leg, it'll live, but it's not growing that back either. Like, dude, what are you talking about?
I was watching it, and I was, like, a little bit uncomfortable when, rather than just say the bug reproduces asexually, it's like, it's a hermaphrodite. It's got boy parts. It's got girl parts. And I'm like, I don't think that's what you call it in the professional field.
No, that's not what you call it either. No.
That's what you call it on a hate movie.
Yeah, well, it's what you call it in this kind of a movie, let's say.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, and that's one of those things where it's like, okay, if I'm going to talk about it, or if I'm going to say this, then it's like, yes, that is the thing that happens. A, no, it's not particularly common, but B, you also, yes, wouldn't call it a hermaphrodite that has boy and girl parts. It's just there are some species of bugs, like a queen, per se, of, like, an ant colony or a bee colony or whatever, that they're born with pre-fertilized eggs.
Right.
Like, that's what you would call that. It's not asexual or hermaphroditic reproduction. That's not what it is. L. So, get your shit together, you fucking hack.
Mm-hmm.
God, you really got to question that one doctor that suggested he's the guy that comes in. Like,
right.
What else is she really bad at?
Well, we know acting, so.
No.
She's not good at x-ray. She's not good at cutting worms open or larvae open. Oh, man. So funny. But I love the scene where Elliot is in the tunnels with her and the preacher goes by and tries to get him. And he, like, goes over the railing and then, like, bounces off that big metal box.
Yeah, yeah, that's a real and you're alive. How?
Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, that looks like it hurt. For real.
Right.
That, not on purpose. That was an accident. And that's all the film they had, so they used it.
Right? No second takes.
I mean, look, if you're going to get injured like that, then fucking use the footage at least, you know?
Right?
Like, if I was in a movie and I got hurt like that, I'd be like, and you didn't fucking use that? When I saw the end result, I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me?
They're like, look at my face! Look at my face! Put it in there.
I'm a fucking paraplegic now, and you didn't keep it in there?
Oh, my God.
And, okay, so they burned the eggs, right? And they kept saying male and female. And so there was the queen. So there were two creatures, correct?
Yes.
And that's where I got confused when they first were saying, like, hermaphrodite. I was like, okay, first of all, what? Now I'm like, wait, again, no, that's not how that, okay.
Yeah, didn't make any sense. It's right. Just because they want the big one to be male instead of just being like, they're both just a female species because, you know, stupid shit.
They already had too many females in the movie, so.
Right, yeah,
well, so they had to make the male the bad guy.
Mm, yep.
Yeah, that'd be the biggest threat.
There you go.
Fuck usual science where, yeah. God, this is fucking awesome. I love this
one. Right.
Oh, my God. And just, like, I know I'm totally skipping over, but, dude, when he asked her out on a date at the end and he just, like, how about to breakfast?
Right.
Like, whoa. And he's like, and I make the best Western omelet. Like, this guy, he's fucking, he's got game. Because if I try that, I just get pepper sprayed before I even get to Western omelet.
And here's the thing. First of all, you got the best Western omelet. That's a bold statement, my dude. That's a real bold statement, good sir, that, oh, I have the best Western omelet in the fucking whatever that he said, the coast or whatever. It's like, dude, you can say you make a mean one, but you can't be being like, I'm the best at it. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, how does he get his facts on that? This, like,
right.
Does, like, one lady, like, call him, like, 2 weeks later, like, dude, I was just at Jeff's house, and you know what? Your Western omelet sucks, dude.
Right.
No, that's secretly what women actually do. We all wait for the Western omelet, and if you guys don't present it, then we're done. And if you make it and it sucks, we're done. Like, it has to be the best Western omelet. And then we send each other, like, notes telepathically with our hormones, letting all the other women know.
So that's why I'm always single. Okay.
Right?
But don't tell, guys. Don't tell.
It makes so much more sense now.
Right. Well, I feel like you want to be, like, more impressive, like, fucking omelet. You're like, yeah, that's good. But, like, what if you just, like, dude, I make a bomb eggs Benedict. You're like, whoa. Like, I didn't know people made that at home. Like, no, wow.
Western let's omelet do this. Only. Western omelet or get the fuck out.
Some crab cake bennies, man. Nosh.
I make some frittata. Like, dude, this guy gets it. He has.
Or, like, she's probably vegan, though. So, like, she'd much rather have, like, a non-dairy yogurt with some granola and fruit. So he's shit out of luck.
Yeah, well, probably.
And after seeing what they saw, I don't even know if I want to eat right away.
Right? It's been a long day. The presumption of, hey, want to go grab food? Food isn't exactly the first thing, or it's pretty near the last thing I'm thinking of at the time. Like, I need a cigarette, I need a stiff drink, I need a shower, and then I need a bed, in that order. And bed by myself, not with you.
And not with an omelet.
And I'm pretty sure that detective is going to die of internal injuries. I mean, he took a mean body shot from a fucking 8-foot bug, and he went, like, across the room. Like, he's going to die of internal injuries.
Yeah, this isn't something that you would think one just easily walks away from.
Yeah. Fucking, oh, poor Bishop.
poor Bishop. Oh, sure, we'll go with that, sure.
I did love the trope, though, that he was all about killing the animal, and then Elliot, the doctor, was about trying to save it, or the, whatever, the ant thing.
That's such a trope, though, of just, like, the scientists who, you would assume that he would die for that, because that's always what happens, right?
Right! It's
always the thing that happens, is that the scientist who's way too enraptured and enthralled by what's going on and this amazing feat of science and everything, they get too close and then they get fucking murderized for their troubles. But oddly enough, he lives to the end. I was like, wow, that is not what I would have done.
Right, but I mean, other than the one where he gets knocked over and hits the metal box, where I was like, oh, that's how he dies. So he doesn't even get to die by the creature's hands. It's like a whoopsie-daisy death. I was like, oh, okay, right. I like it. That's brilliant. But then before that, I swear there were two other scenes where I thought he was dying.
Where were they? Oh. When he's, like, slowly walking back towards the fucking, or towards the nest and everything, or what?
Uh-huh, yeah. And then after they burn the nest, I think, or when they start to, or the ant comes after them after they set it on fire. I thought he was dead, like, two other times before. So when I saw him hit that box, I was like, oh, this is how they're going to do it. And then she goes over there. She's like, Elliot, wake up. And I was like, oh, man, he's alive.
Yeah, the way she screamed his name over and over again was kind of annoying.
There's so many funny lines in this movie, though.
Oh my God. No, undoubtedly.
And, like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go for it.
No, I was just going to give props to the fire. Like, that was such a cooperative fire. Like, it just stayed right there. It didn't spread. Like, God, that was just, like, that was really nice of that fire to do that for them.
Right? Mm-hmm. How convenient of it.
Man.
And how did they set it on fire? Because I don't even think I got that.
Didn't he like throw like some butane or tank?
Yeah,
and then a flare. And then like, yeah, a flare or something.
Exactly. Just that. Just that.
Oh my god.
It was enough. That's
pretty much what they chose to do really early, and it's like, let's blow this motherfucker up. Yeah, we can't, this, that, and the other. We don't have anything, or it's the fucking, it's too old of a building, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we got to do it. Yeah, by the way, we have butane.
Yeah. Like,
could have done it a lot earlier, my dudes. Could have done it a lot earlier.
And I wish, like, we would jump back and forth to, like, the army outside where he's like, oh, my God, like, get, like, they have an hour and, like, 27 minutes left. Where you're,
yeah,
really
those,
like, oh,
those
God,
2 hours lasted a long time.
Yeah. I don't know. This is enjoyable enough that I would almost check out this, like, director, writers. Just curious to see stuff that they've done after this to see what it's like.
Well, why don't I take a look at the old, what you call it? You know what I'm talking about.
IMDb.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, dude, the director has a movie called Spasms.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds fucking, a gigantic serpent is captured on a remote island and shipped to an American college for experimentation. Oh my god.
That sounds amazing.
And then a British millionaire and American scientist find themselves in hot pursuit of the beast when it escapes from captivity and starts to kill innocent people.
Innocent people? No!
Yeah, dude, he sees like a thief and he's like, nah, fuck him. I'm gonna get this lady over here.
See, now here's the question. Maybe you'll be able to find an answer on this for me while I'm talking here, Paul. But okay, how does anywhere, can you find anywhere where it says, how big is said creature? How big is this giant serpent? How giant is this giant serpent? Because also, and while during a hunting trip in Micronesia, this guy likes Micronesia.
Dude.
Love it.
But if, look, here's the, I'm just saying, if this serpent is in fact large enough, it may fit the criteria necessary.
Stop it.
Oh, nice.
God.
It's a good tease.
It is. Dude, this guy, he made like a fucking, the same director, I think he made one of the first Lifetime movies.
Wow.
It's called Wedding in White. A father will do anything to protect his family's reputation when his unmarried teenage daughter becomes pregnant because she was raped by her brother's friend.
Jesus.
No.
That was in 72.
That does not sound like
dude,
a Lifetime
hold
movie.
On, hold on. This dude did 27 episodes of the fucking Goosebumps series.
Oh,
oh my god.
He did two episodes of Animorphs. Anybody remember that shit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Dude, he did the Royal Diary.
Oh boy.
Lonesome Dove?
What?
I don't know what that is.
That's like, dude, wasn't
the TV series, like he did like an episode or two or something?
Yeah, he directed two episodes.
Huh. Throw some Westerns in there too. Why not?
Sure, why not?
My God, this guy's amazing.
It definitely asks the question of what else has this man done, and should we talk about some of it in the future? Maybe. We'll see.
Do a little more research.
Indeed. It requires further investigation. That is for sure. But yeah, so is there anything else that anybody wanted to talk about that we hadn't brought up yet?
Other than I felt like this was like kind of like a throw to like the old 50s movies with the large creatures, like the scorpion and stuff like that.
A little bit. I can see that a little bit.
So that's why I said 50s earlier. So it's like, it's just kind of pulling from the past and trying to put it in part of the present.
Okay. I can see it. Like I said, to an extent, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so bummed because like it clearly ended with them teasing a sequel.
Yep, that's a good point.
Like, man, I was so excited when I saw that. I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna get more of this, and there's no Blue Monkey sequel.
Yep, there is no Blue Monkey 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh my god, where would they even have it set up, man? Oh my god, how could you go bigger than this?
Maybe what you do is they've, in the years since, they've recommissioned or they like refurbished or did something with all those tunnels underground to make it like a bed, not an insane asylum anymore, but like, you know, a new multiple wings on the hospital or whatever. And so now it's all this underground stuff that's nice, and it's all like a luxury, like making like a Four Seasons thing for people, for like the Mayo Clinic or the like a rehab center or something like that, and to have it go from there, maybe.
Oh my god.
Ooh, wait. Or since everything's closed
Betty
down.
Ford that... Betty Ford Clinic. That's what I was looking yeah. for. Sorry.
And now that this actual location is a college where nobody's at, they need to go film a movie in it now and make the sequel and have that bug return.
Dude. But in
a college campus format.
So how much money do you have in your bank account? Because maybe we can do this. We all pull our money right together. We maybe can at least come up with 3 million Canadian dollars.
Yeah, that's true.
That was the budget of this movie, so maybe.
I think we could do it on 10 grand.
Oh my god, I think we could do it on 15 bucks. Come on.
No, right? Come on. The creature design alone is like a solid 250. Come on.
Oh my god, dude, we could just...
I can spend 10 bucks on like floor mats and make that shit out of EVA foam.
Oh my god, we could just make a Lego version and zoom in on it like they did with a fucking ant.
Oh man.
Oh fuck.
Oh my god.
Action figures.
You give it a Lego boxing glove so when it's getting those body shots again. Oh my god. This has to be made so hard.
Right. I do agree. Having gone through this now and seeing it. Yeah, I'm kinda with you here.
I'm kinda down with this. And if it's in the college setting, in the same location with the bug, we can now add in the ghosts from the insane asylum from the past.
Ooh, oh my
god. Like it makes complete sense.
And like it will get like you get, oh my god, you can like get all types of crowds, because then like these college frat people need to find out that they got to get drunk to not be sick.
Right.
Yep. So shenanigans happen there. Like there you go. Oh my god. God,
and we can have the ghost of the old guy.
Oh my
and God. The other people that died from the bacterial infection.
Or at least those who are still alive.
Oh my god, dude. Co-eds are getting in with a fucking insane asylum ghost. Oh, come on.
Oh, jeez.
We need some Ryan Murphy help on this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, oh my god, definitely... Sarah Paulson will come? Oh. Mm-hmm.
We'll definitely workshop this one.
Yep, yep. But man, all I can say is like the kids didn't get in any trouble for mutating this bug.
Because no one else fucking knows that they're the ones that did it. They're the only ones that know they caused it. And I don't even think, here's the thing, I don't even think they know that they caused it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they left before anything happened. It's just, I don't know, it's just one of those things that I thought was hilarious in the movie.
Infuriating.
But no, I'm just curious about you. Like, does anybody have... like a favorite scene, favorite moment, or one of the storylines is your favorite?
Oh my god, why don't you just ask me which one of my kids is better? God. God, what an impossible question.
A true Sophie's choice.
For real.
Sophie. I couldn't choose Sophie.
I definitely love like the guy that had to pick up the bug doctor just because his part truly didn't need to be in the movie at all. So I just love it even more. There was like all his only point was to bring the doctor there. And then we see him trying to go all over the city and becomes best friends with the president of the army. Like, oh my God.
The president of the army.
The president of the army.
He's got, like, I think that's just called the president of the United States. But
he's
sure.
got like the Jean-Claude Van Damme title from Street Fighter. He's like kind of the president of the Marines. Like, there you go.
Oh, man. I think one of my favorite moments, the one that sticks out pretty well to me, is near the end when the nest has been destroyed, the bug's on the loose, and is chasing Bishop around. And the one dude who's got, like, the two black eyes, once, it, like, the bug busts out and everybody sees it and they're all running, and the one dude who's, like, freaking out, and then it just grabs him and tears his fucking head off immediately. That got me in a good way. That definitely did something positive for me.
Well, that's what's so funny, because before that bug, I was like, oh, no, they incapacitate because they need to feed on minerals and whatever. And so... they'll paralyze and sting their prey and they'll live and suffer for days. It's like, the bug's like, fuck no, I don't. He's like, this is just like,
well, I guess not.
Right?
God. I don't know. I was thinking the whole time, like, what was the best part? And, like, they kept having, I think all the very small subparts were my favorite parts. Like, the two people who go off and they make out just long enough and they bone long enough for the kids to fuck up that monster. And then they come back and they die. The stupid pregnancy birthing that didn't have to happen. The subplot of going to get the doctor, the bug doctor, who's like, oh, my God, you have a Volkswagen bug? Must have been hard.
Oh, my God, that guy. Yeah, Elliot is constant. It's like, oh, it's my favorite kind of car. Like, we get it, you fucking loser. Like, all the shit going on in his house with the everything involving the, like, oh, it's got the bugs that are in the refrigerator, and he's offering the food or some of the drink, and our Argyle facsimile. Nope. Yeah, our Argyle facsimile is like, nope, I'm good. Can we get the fuck out of here in your creepy ass house now? Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to be here. Oh my God.
I also really loved when they like are up in the office of whoever that dude was. And he's like he's starting to figure out like that the army's gonna like they might do like Operation 4 or whatever the fuck it was called.
Well, yeah, it's a stage 4 quarantine, and yeah.
And they're like, oh my God,
classified.
And they're like, oh my God, what's that? And as he's saying it, if you listen closely, you can hear like a couple military drums being rattled off, like a really weird, like it's like 30 seconds later, you hear the drums again. Like, this is supposed to be like the fucking pattern of this movie.
Right.
It's just it's like, true.
Oh my God, this is.
It's so true.
Oh, and then like, I love the old ladies at the end when she's like, you got a cure for a hangover. And they like put their hands on their cheeks.
Oh, us.
We're quirky,
right?
Oh gosh, no, I think the old ladies definitely were a favorite, a highlight, because the first time it happens, the doctor's like, how did you get in here? And she's like, I made my way in here.
No, like, she says, need to get out. I use the emergency exit, which, by the way, yeah, speaking of all that, like, why is there an isolation room with an emergency exit that's apparently just unlocked and people just walk in and out of whatever they want to? And then, because when she busts in there and she's like, this is an isolation area, you can't be in here. And she just lets her leave because, like, oh, well, the woman's infected with some unknown plague and everything. She was in there and you just let her leave. And then you left too. What the fuck is wrong with you, lady?
That's not how this works. Trust
at
me.
All.
Well, those doctors are fucking terrible because she's clearly not blind. She hasn't once used that stick at all. She didn't touch anything with that stick. Like, I don't know who you're fooling with your Ray Charles glasses, lady, but just sit down. Sit down, Ethel. Like, get the fuck out of here.
It wasn't until her final scene with the hangover bit that I was like, why does she still have sunglasses on? And then I saw the stick and I was like, wait, she was supposed to be blind this entire time? What the fuck?
Oh
she
my
had
God.
The whole time, you know, like she did at least have the stick with her at all times. But yeah, her usage of it was sporadic at best.
Dude, it would have been so much better if she's like, you got a cure for hangover, and she like kind of like lowered her glasses and winked at her friend. This would have been, oh my God.
Oh God, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I could go with that for sure.
Fucking A, that would have been, oh my God, I would have stood up and cheered.
I just loved how it kept cutting back to them like sipping on their bottle and just like laughing. And I'm like, havoc is happening everywhere. And they're just like these two old biddies like getting smashed in the hospital where they're saying like, fuck everything.
It's a real, just so you remember, they're still getting drunk.
And that bottle of Jack, that was bigger than one pint. Those two old ladies should have died, like, well before anything of importance happened in the movie.
Well, but keep in mind, I mean, they're pretty old. It's the late 80s, so they probably lived through the Depression and World War II. They got strong livers. It's the one thing that works consistently and efficiently on them still.
Well, that's why her friend was so persistent.
Exactly.
And I loved her excuse for being there, you know, like, you know, to cure anything like this is companionship or something like that. And I was like, wow, that sounds sort of relevant. I'm pretty sure I've seen some of those posts on Facebook recently.
you say that and that way, and I go, well, that sounds like a stretch.
I might be being sarcastic.
Yep, exactly.
Here's a tiny bit.
Just a teeny weeny little bit there.
Man, I'm looking up the movie that won the 88 Academy Award, and it's The Last Emperor. It doesn't sound as good as Blue Monkey. This is bullshit.
Justice for Blue Monkey.
God damn it. I don't care if Peter O'Toole was in that movie. Fucking, this had Detective fucking Bishop. Come on.
Hey, yep. I've seen one and I haven't seen the other, so.
God, dude, he just, like, he really had selective worry about his partner, too. Like, when they first came in, he's, like, worried as hell. And then all of a sudden, he's fine for, like, half the movie. And then when he has to go in the waiting room with the pregnant couple, he's really worried again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real thing of, like, and, well, he's in surgery, so there's nothing I can do about it. Hey, what mischief can we get into in the meantime? Oh, you have a laser award. Oh, there's this giant creature here. Oh, I completely forgot that he's the thing that's going on.
Yes, so was he in surgery while this whole thing was going down with the bug?
At one point, yeah, at least part of it, because remember, we see the, like, when they're operating and the power goes out, and they're like, holy shit, if we don't get the power, the backup generators don't come back on, too sweet, then this guy's done for.
So, like, wow, okay, so right. That was him. I thought maybe that was another plot point. I don't know.
No, that was him.
Okay. And at the end of the movie, he's, like, thanking Bishop. He's, like, waving, and, like, his whole family's waving and thanking him, and Bishop is just staring him down, like almost like, fuck you, like... The guy's thanking you. You're giving him this evil... He's not even, like, talking to him. Bishop is just a badass, dude.
Well, Bishop's got other things on his mind right now because he's trying to... You know, he went through a harrowing experience, and now he's trying to get laid.
Yeah, like, he's probably thinking, like, shit, dude, I got to go to the store. I got to get tomatoes, green peppers. I got to make this fucking Western omelet.
Right.
Like, I'm not fucking this up.
Priorities.
Too funny.
Yep.
Yeah, this should have been, this needs to be a movie that's riffed. I was very surprised. Absolutely. That this was, I was surprised I didn't find this in the Mystery Science catalog. I mean, I know some of them, I know they're not going to, but this one, I was very surprised it wasn't, because it seems perfect for that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely some ripe territory for that exact, for them to do that. At least a riff track or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Then with all that, we should probably start wrapping this one up here. So, you know, going around the room, buy it, rent it, skip it. We're actually going to start with Tierra because she left me her note and let me know that for her, it's a rental. So, yay, we have one good positive. So, Amanda, you're next.
Oh, full on rent this. It's especially now, like, if you have been watching, like, Ozarks and, like, you know, serious stuff, you, like, you know, got, like, emotional watching, like, The Last Dance with all the basketball stuff, like, all of the serious stuff that's out there right now.
Yeah.
Put this on, because there's not enough ridiculous stuff, I think, to watch right now.
That I'll co-sign that for sure.
That can be, like, very fresh. Oh. Hold on.
All right.
Oh, my God. It's the ant. He's calling in. Shit.
That was so weird. That just scared me. My baby sister was trying to call me. I didn't know that was going to ever happen.
That's why you mute your phone, people.
That was on my computer. Wasn't my phone. My phone is muted.
Yeah.
Your computer sounds like PC. Your phone?
Yeah. I didn't even know that could happen. So anyway, yeah. We need more just stuff you can, like, sit back and watch and just laugh at and have fun. And this is so bad, it's good. It's worth it. It's an hour and 30 minutes, so go for it. Rent this. Or I guess you don't even need to, because you can't even rent it, I don't think, anywhere. You can't buy it on DVD. It's only available on VHS. But go to YouTube and find it.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. It's only available on VHS. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
1987.
This is fucking awesome. It hasn't even gotten a DVD upgrade.
This needs
a fucking 4K release. Oh my God.
It needs a re-release in the theaters is what it needs.
It needs something. This needs to come back in the public eye and everything. But Eric, what say you?
This is a tough one because it's like recommending for other people to watch some shitty ass movie.
So it's our rating system is about ourselves.
Yeah, I would buy it because I would watch this thing a couple more times, to be honest, because it's got like when you want that little bit of cheese, you can watch it and you can get a little bit of cheese. If you're like fiend in for some extra cheese, you can just look a little deeper and watch it. And you get some extra cheese, and it's got a lot of good character acting from a lot of different people who are in a lot of different things. You have comedy, you have very serious actors who just take any fucking job that is offered to them. It's such a collaboration of good acting and bad acting, and it just the bad actors really like. In a lot of movies, like, the bad actors are elevated by the good actors, but it's not the same in this one. This one, the bad actors bring down the good actors, and it brings them to, like, so they all got mud on them, they all got dirt on them, and it's great to watch. So, yeah, I would buy this because I could see myself watching it again and again. Plus, it's got good stuff. It's got good effects. It's got good, the suit acting is good. Cocoons are good. The only thing I don't like the fucking Kenny. Like, I would not wish anything bad, but this kid's not real anyway. He's just a fake kid. So if, like, leukemia overtook him, I would not fucking...
The actor was actually a very complex robot amateur.
Okay. So if leukemia overtook robot kid, then I will see you later, small wonder.
Damn. You know, I thought you were going with the cheese analogy. Like, a little bit of cheese, you can watch this movie. You want a little bit more cheese, you can still watch this movie and dig a little deeper. I thought you were going to go with something along the lines of, and if you want to just go to the local gas station, just put your mouth under the nacho cheese thing and just push that button and hold it, then you can do that with this movie, too.
No, okay. No, fair enough. You can do that. This is terrible, it's a good, bad movie.
Yeah, and to be honest, if I ever came across this as a VHS, I would totally nab it.
Paul, what about you?
Oh, I'm buying the shit out of this. I am 100% buying this. This is so much fun, and I have, like, I look forward to, I remember my dad, like, always getting, like, some stupid fucking movie that he, you know, like, kind of the same way, like, it's not good, but you love it because of that, and he was excited to show me those, so when my kids get of the age, I would love to show them this one so we could just laugh at it, you know, like on a rainy night or something. But yeah, like Street Fighter is one of my favorite movies because it's terrible. This is, God, this is gonna close the gap, man. This was so fucking awesome. Everything about
it's a contender.
It's a contender, man. It could body shot Street Fighter the way Bishop got body shotted. Yeah, dude, like. And just the fact that, like, those two people were so good at sex, they had like a back to back sex break. Like, I think they just went.
Yeah, I was shocked by that, by the way, because Tara was like, yeah, they're going out there for sex. They've been gone for 30 minutes. I'm like, then why? What are they doing right now? They're about to fuck now. What's with the foreplay post sex?
Dude, it was like they're great at it. It was back to back, like boom, and you throw like and the chance to do it on a laid up table. Come on.
And the table was glowing. Hello.
That's why I said light up table. You said light up table.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was good job, man. Same thing.
Definitely buying this. This was, the acting was great. I mean, I did wish that the fucking bug guy would have died because he plays the father of Judy Hopps in Zootopia, and I have seen that movie maybe 700 times. So as soon as I heard his voice, I needed me to look at him. Like, oh god, dude, I hope Stu Hopps fucking gets it this time.
Yeah, the fact that you know his name, even
it's the character, it's super sad, right? It's terrible, it's terrible. But no, yeah, buy it all the way. Would love to rewatch this and just laugh at it.
Yeah. By the way, Zootopia is a great movie. I mean, can see
so good.
Yeah, because you've seen it way too many times because you're kids. I'm
yeah.
But yeah, I'm gonna echo Eric and Paul here. If I could buy this, I would. Just look, I've looked, can't find it. I'm not paying over $100 for a VHS. I don't have a player to play it in right now. So, but it's definitely a buy for me. This is prime time cheese factor in some of the best that 1980s has to offer. It's everything you want in exactly this kind of movie. Like, it's a conversation starter for sure. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Eric, you were talking about, you know, I'd watch it a couple more times. Like, this would be what I would throw on at parties. Just like, and check this shit out.
Right? No, this thing fits. Oh, it fits so many crevices.
Yeah, it's multifaceted and so applicable in many different ways. It slices, it dices, it makes Julian fries. It's got everything. Right. And a bag of chips. Yeah. So, yeah, it's an absolute buy-in for me. I love this. This is so funny and so great in all the best, worst ways possible. But, yeah, so, I mean, that kind of does that. That is Blue Monkey from 1987. Hey, Amanda.
God damn it. Son of a bitch.
What do we cover next time?
I can't punch my code in. I even have that wrong.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, we'll put on the Jeopardy music while you wait.
We are covering The Monster That Challenged the World.
Yes, the 1957 old school movie, The Monster That Challenged the World. We don't have a guest next week, but that's fine. You know, we'll definitely enjoy with just the usual four of us. Hopefully, Tierra won't be dead at that point in time. That'd be bad if she was.
Just but, get her some Jack Daniels.
Right? That'll cure the
disease. Yeah, apparently.
And Tierra, you need to get drunk to cure your sickness. Thumbs up there. Absolutely. But, Paul, we got to have you back on.
Oh, my God. If you do another 80s one, fuck yeah. But, I mean, an anytime one, too. Yeah, totally.
Fucking awesome. Hold on. Let me give you a moment here. Vamp for a second. I see nobody did that. Thanks, everybody. Yep, I know the movie.
Oh, no.
I know the movie.
Yay!
And it's actually somewhat similar to this.
Fantastic.
Yep. Oh, my God. So, yeah. When it comes up, I'll put you on for it, Paul, but you'll be on again for Q, The Winged Serpent.
Fuck yeah!
From 1982.
That's from 82?
Yes.
Yes. Wow. That's not a good year.
Just the letter Q, or is it like Q U E?
No, the letter Q.
Just the letter.
Stop looking it up.
I'm not.
Uh huh.
Oh, I'm not.
Serpent. Uh-huh. Oh my God. Amazing.
Have you heard of this movie, Paul, or no?
No.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. This is exactly where I want you to be with that. Then you'll be blindsided again.
I'm so excited now because, like, after seeing both these movies, I can't wait to go out in public and just ask strangers, like, hey, do you want to see Blue Monkey and my winged serpent? Like, and just get slapped and, like, arrested for being inappropriate when I'm not trying to be? Like, oh, my God.
You get some mace in the face. It'll be great.
Like, I swear to God, dude, like, do you want to see my winged serpent? Oh, my God, you piece of shit. Get away from me.
Exactly. But yeah, so we'll have you back on when that comes around, whenever the hell that happens. But in the meantime, Paul, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, this was a blast. And if you are trying to find this on YouTube, I think it has the best I think it has the best description. I think it literally says it's E.T., Aliens, and Terminator thrown into a blender. That's like in the actual description on the video.
No, the description is Aliens, ER, and The Thing.
Oh, it was ER. Yeah, yeah, ER makes way more sense.
Yeah, because it's a hospital.
When it shouldn't, yeah.
Man, imagine few years later and George Clooney was in this movie. My God.
Oh, my God.
So
see,
funny.
Like, and I was thinking the E.T., because I thought that was E.T., so I thought the E.T. element was the fucking annoying kids.
Which could be, too. I mean, sure. Yes.
Well, at least they didn't say the fucking Goonies, because those kids were not the fucking Goonies.
No. Oh, God, these kids were fucking...
They were the E.T. kids.
Right.
God.
They're the Stand By Me kids.
No, they're way better. But kidding, anyway. Kidding.
Which version on YouTube did you guys watch?
How many versions? Because
there was a VHS version where you had, like, the full VHS, like, the FBI warning intro and everything.
Did not do that one.
Oh, God.
What the hell, man?
Total VHS.
Man. Oh, does it get like the tracking lines once in a while too?
Oh my God, that's actually amazing.
So it came to the scenes where they were in the tunnels, like it was dark anyway, and then shrouded in blue light. But with the tracking lines, like I couldn't hardly see anything that was going on, but it was I was fine with it. It just added to the element.
That's about right. But Paul, if people want to hear more of you, where can they find you?
Well, I recommend they don't, but if they really feel like they want to hurt themselves, Movies from the Heart and the Animated Badcast.
What do you do on Movies from the Heart?
In fact, Amanda was on. I have a guest on, and we talk about their favorite movie and why it's their favorite movie and just kind of discussions around that. It's been a lot of fun.
So, what am I going to be on?
What do you want to be on?
I don't know. I'll have my people talk to your people. And we'll figure it out.
Fantastic. Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
God damn it. Now I have work to do. Thanks, Dan.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, everybody, go check out Movies from the Heart and the Animated Backcast. In fact, I was on an episode, an early one of the Animated Backcast.
It was awesome.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, so that'll do it this time for the Leftover Army Monsters. So until next time, when we're talking about the monster that challenged the world from 1957, I'm Dan Heppner.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Eric.
You can say your name, Paul.
I'm Paul.
And we'll see y'all next time.
Come on, Amanda. Spit it out.
Bye.
Bye.
There we go.
Bye. Okay. I had a cue her up.